I'm going to call the meeting of the Government Operations Committee to order. The first item on the agenda is the roll call. Could the clerk please take the roll?
Good morning, everyone. Representative Freiberg.
Here.
Representative Sock. Sure. Representative Quam.
Here.
Representative Bonner.
Present.
Representative Elkins.
Here.
Representative Gomez.
Present.
Representative Heinrich. Representative Heinrich. Representative Cagle.
Here.
Representative Lehman.
Here.
Representative Lee.
Present.
Representative Lilly. Representative Lilly.
I just admitted a second ago, so.
Hi. Here.
Representative Mason.
Present.
Representative Nash. Representative Nash. Representative Nelson.
Here.
Representative Tice.
Here.
Representative Vogel.
Here.
Representative West.
Present.
You have a quorum.
Here we have a quorum. This meeting is being conducted pursuant to House Rule 10.01 via Zoom. It's being broadcast by Zoom on the House in Public Information Services website and will be available on our YouTube page. The next item on the agenda is the approval of the minutes of the April 8th, 2020 meeting of our committee. I will move approval of the minutes. Is there any discussion? Okay, seeing none, I have spoken to Representative Quam and he was okay with procedural motions. Is this, I don't know, Amanda, is this the sort of motion that can be done just by voice vote?
That is correct.
Okay, so if no one objects, we'll just do a voice vote on this. So in favor of approving the minutes of the April 8th, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The minutes are approved. Representative Lippert, sorry, I have a computer over here, two computers here, so I'm just going to keep everything straight. I know Representative Lippert had another engagement at 9, so I said that he was first. While he is getting ready, I will move House File 3558 to the Ways and Means Committee. And I know there's a couple of amendments, Representative Lippert. Did you want me to move those at this point to get the bill in the shape you like or later?
Yes.
Okay, so let's see. It looks like, sorry, close the minutes. So there's an A3 amendment. Is that the only amendment?
Well, we have the A3 amendment right now. And okay. Then, yeah.
So I will move the A3 amendment to put the bill in the shape Representative Lippert would like. Is there any discussion to the amendment? Okay, seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, the bill is in the shape you like. Representative Lippert, would you like to present your bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. And the A3 amendment includes the latest hemp rulemaking language from the Omnibus Ag Policy Bill. And Representative Vang is here and will say a little bit more about that in a moment. So House File 3558 addresses a series of recommendations from the Emerging Farmers Report. And then some pieces of the Ag Policy Bill have been amended into it as well. So part of this bill is the establishment of the Emerging Farmers Working Group that will advise the commissioner and legislature regarding the development and implementation of programs and initiatives that support emerging farmers in the state. And it calls on the commissioner to periodically convene this working group. Amended into this bill has been a section on noxious weeds. So currently there's a noxious weed seed list maintained in rule. but it does not have a defined process, nor is there editing of the list, which makes it very difficult to keep it up to date. So there's a new seed advisory committee that would provide partners and stakeholders a voice in listing the noxious weed seeds, as well as a transparent and more flexible process for listing those seeds. Section 3 also modifies the Noxious Weed Advisory Committee, and that's already in statute, but it would provide more direction on membership by splitting membership or entities currently grouped together. So those are the main portions of main portions. I'll turn it over to Representative Vang to talk about the hemp rulemaking sections.
Sure. Thank you, Representative Lilly. Representative Vang.
Thank you, Representative Lilly, and thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee, for this opportunity to talk a little bit about my bill or the amendment, which is part of the hemp rulemaking section that is most relevant to the committee. So just to provide a little context, Minnesota was able to grow hemp through a federal research program about 4 years ago. And now with the 2018 Farm Bill that legalized hemp, the pilot program ends in June, this June. Thus including the Minnesota Department of Ag's rulemaking authority for industrial hemp. In order to transition from a pilot program to an established industrial hemp program as authorized in federal law, NDA needs to have rulemaking authority extended and expanded to include the word processing, which, as you notice, is the only change besides the expiration date. The need to include the word processing came from the work on the sale of CBD products work group spearheaded by Representative Paul Anderson's last session. So if this authority is not provided, MDA will be operating without real legal backing and could face issues with licensees after the state leaves the pilot program. And so section 4, lines 2.8, 2.14 establishes the definition of processing for purposes of rulemaking. Section 5, line 2.15 to 2.27 requires NDA to adopt rules governing hemp processing. And NDA was given rulemaking authority for industrial hemp before, and this just expands to include the word processing. And I stand for any questions. And we also have two testifiers here, Whitney and Pater here, who can also help answer any questions as well.
Thank you, Representative Vang. I think maybe if that ends your presentation, I think I'll go to testimony at this point, and then we can go to member questions. So first on the list I have is Whitney Place. I think I saw her.
Hi, Mr. Chair. For the record, my name is Whitney Place. I serve as Assistant Commissioner at the Minnesota Department of Agriculture. Thank you so much for your attention to this bill. Especially on the hemp portion, we really do need this rulemaking to align our program with the new federal requirements. So thanks for your attention to it, and I'm here to answer any questions the committee may have.
Okay, thank you. Why don't you just stand by in case there are any questions. Next on the list, I have Pater Kaseth, or Jaseth. I apologize if I'm not pronouncing that correctly.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Pater Chesset. I am the Director of Government Affairs at the Department of Agriculture. And I just want to thank you all for taking the time to consider the Seed Advisory Committee this morning. Representative Lippert did a great job of explaining why we would need it. Just in terms of context, this is something that the department would really like to have in order to combat some a weed you might have heard a little bit about in the last few years, Palmer amaranth. We just find that there are a lot more invasives coming in at a speed that unfortunately it's hard to keep up with, and the flexibility that this language would provide our program to deal with those noxious weeds would greatly help the situation. And I can stand for any questions the committee might have.
Thank you, Mr. Chet. I don't have anyone else signed up to testify, and I don't see any other testifiers on this bill, so we'll go to member discussion. I don't actually have anybody on the list at this point, but I will wait a minute just to make sure. Okay, I guess it's pretty straightforward. So any closing remarks, Representative Lippert or Vang?
Just thank you for taking the time to hear this bill this morning.
Likewise, thank you, members of the committee.
Yep, thank you both for being here. So with that, I will renew my motion that House File 3558, as amended, be referred to the Ways and Means Committee. Amanda, can this be done by voice vote?
I believe this needs to have a vote.
Okay. All right. So this does require a roll call. So I will ask the clerk to take the roll.
Representative Freiberg?
Yes.
Representative Sock?
Yes.
Representative Quam?
No.
Representative Bonner?
Yes.
Representative Elkins?
Yes.
Representative Gomez?
Aye.
Representative Heinrich? Representative Cagle?
Yes.
Representative Lehman?
Yes.
Representative Lee?
Aye.
Representative Lilly?
Yes.
Representative Mason?
She needs to unmute.
Yes.
Representative Nash? Representative Nelson?
Yes.
Representative Tice?
Yes.
Representative Vogel?
Yes.
Representative West?
Yes.
14 ayes, 1 nay.
Okay. All right, that bill is completed. So thank you again, Representatives Lippert and Vang, for being here. Next, I think I will go to House File 4576, since we do have some people here to testify for it. Representative Bonner, would you like to move House File 4576 to the General Register?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I would move that House File 4576 be referred to the General Register.
Okay. All right. Representative Bonner moves House File 4576 be referred to the General Register. Would you like to describe your bill, Representative Bonner?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I want to start, of course, with a little bit of thanks and gratitude. This bill has been an extensive amount of work in work with my colleagues over in the Senate, authors Kiffmeyer and Hayden, and has garnered support from Senators Cohen, Rosen, and Senator Gazelka, and of course on the House side with the support of my colleagues like Representative Freiberg and Joachim. This bill came about as a collaboration between the Public Employees Retirement Association, the Minnesota State Retirement System, Legislative Commission on Pensions and Retirement, which is a bipartisan, bicameral body tasked with overseeing pension funds and regulation, the Office of the County Attorney, the Governor and his staff, as well as numerous nurses behind the scenes. As you know, healthcare organizations began to ramp up in preparation for the pandemic, and the issue of staffing rose immediately to the top. We know that other states have had staffing challenges that have become an issue as employees fall ill or those who remain on the front lines have been asked up to step up and do more to fill those gaps. In doing so, these frontline workers put their own health and their families at greater risk. However, here in Minnesota, as you know, we are very fortunate to have a deep bench of exceptional healthcare professionals, doctors, nurses, and other badly needed healthcare staff that are operating today on what are called phased out or post-retirement agreements. In other words, we have a wealth of semi-retired and retired individuals that can fill in these gaps, and in fact, many do today in our healthcare system. We also have a wealth of recently retired licensed staff that can be called upon in this crisis. These experienced professionals are already equipped with the extraordinary skills and expertise, which are uniquely needed to fill in staffing gaps due to illness or provide necessary backup for those frontline folks in the pandemic. These workers have vast knowledge in areas like emergency care, urgent care, triage, intensive care unit experience, and they're already familiar with staff and internal
operating procedures for our healthcare organizations. To be concise, they can step up with little or no training in a crisis situation. These are extraordinary folks that can be tapped to aid staffing efforts. Folks like my mom, a veteran of 44 years at HCMC, and her colleagues, folks like Sandra, Pam, and Mary Jo, these men and women have served at the bedside of our loved ones, providing critical care, comfort, guidance, and compassion for some of those folks in their most challenging times for both families and patients. PARA, with the support of MSRS, brought forward a letter to the governor requesting authority to change certain provisions in the retirement plan requirements that prevent employees and employers from fully mobilizing these badly needed and very talented reinforcements. At Hennepin Healthcare, for example, a Trauma One facility, which we know will be disproportionately impacted due to the nature of the population that they serve, there are currently about 40 employees augmenting staff that would encounter this issue, with more raising by the day potentially as this pandemic continues. The statute under normal guidelines limits the number of hours these seasoned employees can work and still maintain their pension eligibility and payments. That said, as hospitals reach out to other retirees and gather additional reinforcements that are willing and able to face this crisis, we want to eliminate any deterrent to these everyday heroes that they may encounter in answering this critical call to service for Minnesota's citizens. This request specifically modifies Minnesota State statute sections 353.371, which limits the hours that PARA or MSRIS retirees may work under existing phased out or post-retirement option agreements. And the bill asks that the limitation be suspended for all retirees who work in the healthcare or healthcare related positions until such time as Executive Order 20-01 can be rescinded. It is important to assure that anyone coming out of retirement to help during this crisis can feel confident that their financial well-being will not be impacted by penalties to their pension while they step up to care for our loved ones in our time of need. And with that, I do actually have a testifier here today, and I do also have, you should have received a letter of support from Hennepin Healthcare, as well as a letter from Becca Lundberg, who is a certified nurse anesthetist as well, who is directly impacted by this bill. And with that, I do have Doug Anderson from PARA here today to testify in support of the bill.
Welcome to the committee, Mr. Anderson. Please identify yourself for the record and then proceed with your testimony.
Thank you and good morning, Chair Freiberg and committee members. I'm Doug Anderson, Executive Director for the Public Employees Retirement Association. PARA is supportive of House File 4576. I also did speak with Aaron Leonard, the Executive Director of the Minnesota State Retirement System, who asked me to voice that they are also supportive. We do recognize the urgent need for healthcare workers as a result of COVID-19. And believe that this bill helps respond to that need. The bill has no adverse impact on PARA. It does allow for additional hours for these workers. However, they would not be making contributions to the plan during that time, nor would they be accruing any more benefits. So it has no impact on either money coming in or money coming out of PARA. It wouldn't have any change there at all. There's also really minimal operational costs. This is a very small group of members. So really no issue there. We do appreciate working with Representative Bonner on this issue and Hennepin Healthcare and the LCPR staff to help craft some language that helped address some of our pretty minor questions. And we do believe that the bill as drafted is very helpful and addresses an important need at this time. So with that, thank you for hearing my testimony. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Anderson. I believe I heard Ms. Lincheski is here in case there are questions, but you don't need to testify. Is that correct?
That's correct. Thank you, Chair Freiberg.
Yep. Thank you. Sorry about that. Representative Nelson, you are first on the list for member questions.
Let me unmute here. I was just going to say that I support this bill as a member of the Pension Commission, but also I'm and our pension plan has a similar model to this, that we allow retirees to work a certain hour times to be raise that that limit so that we can man the job sites and allows retirees to gain some extra money. So this is a good common sense solution to the problem we have right now with the COVID and crisis. So I fully support this amendment, this bill.
Thank you, Representative Nelson. You are, in fact, the only member I have on the list. I thought there might be more conversation about these bills this morning. I'm going to just wait a minute just to make sure there's nobody else who wants to speak to this. Okay, seeing none. Representative Bonner, do you have any closing remarks?
I should have mentioned that there is no fiscal cost associated for the state with this bill. And I want to, of course, thank again the folks at PARA, Hennepin Health, HCMC, MSRS, the governor's office, as well as all of those nurses who really helped craft this bill. And of course, Susan Lincheski, who was critical in this effort from the LCPR. Thank you so much for your help with this. And I think this is a much needed bill that will do some real good. So thank you for all for your support.
Thank you, Representative Bonner. With that, I will ask the clerk, Ms. Somick, to take the roll. And Representative Bonner, I guess, renews her motion that House File 4576 be referred to the General Register. I will ask that the clerk take the roll on the bill.
Representative Freiberg.
Yes.
Representative Sock.
Yes.
Representative Quam.
Yes.
Representative Bonner.
Yes.
Representative Elkins.
Yes.
Representative Gomez.
Aye.
Representative Heinrich. Representative Kegel.
Yes.
Representative Lehman. Representative Lehman. Representative Lee.
Aye.
Representative Lilly.
Yes.
Representative Mason.
She needs to unmute herself.
Aye.
Okay. Representative Nash. Representative Nelson.
Yes.
Representative Tice.
Yes.
Representative Vogel.
Yes.
Representative West.
Yes.
15 ayes.
Sure. Should we see Representative Lehman? I think might have been muted as well. Are you, Representative Lehman, are you still there?
Representative Lehman.
We tried. So there being 15 ayes, the motion is agreed to and the bill is on its way. Next on the agenda is file 4500. Representative Nelson, I understand the plan is to move this bill to state government without any recommendation as a procedural motion. And is that your motion on this bill?
Correct. I move the House File 4500 be referred to the State Government Finance Committee.
Okay. Would you like to present your bill?
And Mr. Chair and members, this bill, as well as the next bill, are both bills that Senator Kiffmeyer and myself have put in as possible vehicle bills that we might need at the end of session. This is kind of standard practice that we use across, and in case something happens that we need to load a bill up after something gets defeated or something goes astray, and that's what this bill is, and that's what the next bill is also.
Okay. And nobody signed up to testify on this bill. Is there any member discussion? Okay, seeing none.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Quam.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. At some time, it'd be nice to see what's in the glove compartment and trunk of some bills.
Representative Nelson, any comment for that?
I would say, as of right now, is that these are just coming off the assembly line. There's probably nothing in the trunk of the glove box as we speak.
Representative Lehman, you've raised your hand.
Oh, yes. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I'm not having a question. I'm just apologizing for losing the connection there for a little bit. I voted yes on the last round of votes, but I'm back. Thank you.
Okay, sure. That's if Ms. Somick, if you could just have the, it wouldn't have affected the outcome. So Ms., if you could just have the minutes reflect that Representative Lehman voted yes, that would be great.
Thank you.
Yep, you're welcome. Any additional discussion to House File 4500? Okay, seeing none, Representative Nelson renews his motion that House File 4500 be referred to the State Government Finance Committee. The clerk will take the roll on the motion.
Representative Freiberg.
Yes.
Representative Salk.
Yes.
Representative Quam.
Yes.
Representative Bonner.
Yes.
Representative Elkins.
Yes.
Representative Gomez.
Aye.
Representative Heinrich. Representative Cagle.
Yes.
Representative Lehman.
Yes.
Representative Lee.
Aye.
Representative Lilly.
Yes.
Representative Mason.
You're muted, Representative Mason.
Got it. I'm sorry. Yes.
Representative Nash. Representative Nelson.
Yes.
Representative Tice.
Yes.
Representative Vogel.
Yes.
Representative West.
Yes.
15 ayes.
Okay. The motion carries. The bill has been referred to the State Government Finance Division. Representative Nelson, would you like to move House File 4501?
Mr. Chair, I would. I'd like to move House File 4501 to be re-referred to the State Government Finance Committee.
Okay. Did you want to say anything additional on this bill?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, just like the last bill, this is a bill that Senator Kiffmeyer and I both have introduced as a vehicle for whether in case we need it for the end of session to make sure that we can get the bills passed into the floor. So that's what this is. And Representative Quam, this also is just coming off the assembly line, and so there's nothing in the trunk or in the glove box.
any discussion to this bill, members? Representative Quam.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have more concern because this one appears like it might have a larger trunk.
That sounded more like a comment than a question, as Representative O'Driscoll would say. So any additional member discussion? Okay, seeing none, Representative Nelson renews his motion that House File 4501 be referred to the State Government Finance Division. Could the clerk please take the roll?
Representative Freiberg.
Yes.
Representative Salk.
Yes.
Representative Quam.
Aye, aye.
Representative Bonner.
Aye.
Representative Elkins.
Aye.
Representative Gomez.
Aye.
Representative Heinrich. Representative Cagle.
Yes.
Representative Lehman.
Yes.
Representative Lee.
Aye.
Representative Lilly.
Yes.
Representative Mason.
Yes.
Representative Nash. Representative Nelson.
Yes.
Representative Tice.
Yes.
Representative Vogel.
Yes.
Representative West.
Yes.
15 ayes.
Okay, the motion carries. The bill's passed away. That's the last bill on our agenda. So I just want to mention that we are meeting both tomorrow and the next day. and they're both at both meetings are at unusual times, so members, please make sure your calendars reflect this. Next meeting will be tomorrow, Thursday, April 30th at 2:45 p.m. We will then meet Friday, May 1st at 12:45 p.m. It is likely that we will be meeting at least once next week also, and hopefully we will be concluding our business sometime around there, but it's possible we may meet twice as well. There's, as you know, a lot of bills tend to get referred to this committee. So is there Representative Quam, you've raised your hand.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Is there any clarification as to, I noticed that normal deadlines were sort of went to the wayside unofficially, and I'd just like an idea of how the chairs of the committees are running, bills since we're in special ground.
Sure. Thank you for that question, Representative Quam. I mean, the normal practice is just to pass the bill on to the next committee as it would be, even if it's after deadline, and then the front desk staff makes decision to take, if it has missed deadline, to take it and send it to the rule committee, which can then waive the deadline. So I expect that's the practice that will be followed in this case, but this is a committee with mandatory referrals, so we just want to make sure, you know, that bills are going through the proper process. Does that answer your question?
I just wanted to make sure that we had that discussion, because there are people actually out there watching and listening, and it's probably a little more confusing at this time than normal for them to track, follow, and keep informed on, bills that they're concerned about. And therefore, I just, wanted the statement there. Thank you.
Yeah, it's not an ideal process, but it was kind of necessitated by the strange situation we find ourselves in with most, with not having met for a couple of weeks right around deadline week and having holding remote hearings and so forth. It should be reflected on the, if there is any bill that any member of the public is interested in, though, if it is grabbed by the front desk and sent to the rules committee, I think it should be reflected on the bill's webpage. So hopefully that at least provides some transparency as to what's happening with bills. Are there any other member questions? Okay, seeing none, as I said, the next meeting is tomorrow, Thursday, April 30th at 2:45 p.m. And this meeting is adjourned. Thank you, everybody.